That was very nice. But you know what I am? I'm sowing out of what I've been taught for years and years. For such a time as this, you know, as I was preparing, you know, you was talking to the Lord about a lot of things. And I said, Lord, it's rather amazing. Someone that used to be afraid to pray out loud in public gets the opportunity to do this. I hope that's encouraging to you. Because that's exactly where I was at probably 30 years ago. And here I am today. And you know, it's the gift in me. And that's what the enemy was fighting. He recognized the gift. He knew the gift in me. He knew the call on my life. And so he was fighting it through fear. That's a word for you all, for somebody. Probably where you fear. One area, you know, where you fear, where it comes to serving God and doing things for God, that's, you can almost mark it down. That's where he's called you to. So you learn over the years, you grow, and like you said, that addiction for that young lady, little by little, you know, he said that, you know, she got saved, she should have been delivered. Yes. You know, in the Old Testament, little by little, they conquered the enemies, all the ites. Yes. And it's the same with us, little by little. Hey, we'll be working on things when we leave. If you'll let the Lord do it, you'll be being delivered from some things, I believe, when you leave the earth. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. So, well, and it's a privilege today to get to share on prayer. I did it again this time like I did last time. I have a few little notes. Y'all would be proud of me. But you may be here for 2 hours. No. I'm going to, first, let's pray. Father God, so grateful for this time and that we've come together here. And, you know, prayer is not, we ought to be praying right now as we hear people saying, but prayer's our relationship with you. Yes. That's what it is. It's so simple. And so every day, we should be talking to you. And I ask that any hindrances to that would be exposed today. You know, you're a God that looks at our heart. And it's heartfelt prayers that makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And I believe, God, that since you have said to Pastor Todd that prayer is to be a priority here, I believe you've been dealing with our hearts. You've been letting us see our heart, and I believe you'll continue to do that today. And in fact, Lord, I believe for some of us, we're going to have heart surgery today. And it'll be by the Holy Ghost, and it'll be good. It'll be good. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. That reminds me of a story I heard Mark Brzee say. I love Mark Brzee. Any of y'all remember when he used to come here and minister? My goodness. But in one of his books, he said, you know, he'd been to the dentist, you know, a time or two, of course. And he went one time, and somebody asked him if he ever used the gas that they have at the dentist office. And he said, no. And he was having some pretty major work done. And he said, but I think I'm going to try it. And so he tried it. And he said, my goodness. He said, under that gas, anybody in here had the gas when you go to the dentist office? It's the best thing in the world when you go to the dentist office. And he said, you know, under that gas, he said, Lord, they could have done anything to me. And he said, I wouldn't have cared. But he said, then he took it over and from the natural to the spiritual realm. And you know, when the Holy Ghost works on you, it's okay. Right? So let the Holy Spirit work on you today. How about that? He's going to teach us about prayer. You know, we've learned back in our prayer class, I hope the people that are coming, we pray all the time. Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And we're going to learn some more today. I'm going to read you some quotes. And as you hear these quotes, you're going to be able to figure out what prayer we're going to be talking about. You know, there's different kinds of prayer. Last fifth Sunday, we talked about the prayer of consecration. Remember that one? And so we're going to do a different one today. But listen to these. I just couldn't pass these by. I feel like they'll bless you. Until God opens the next door, praise Him in the hallway. You could be one praise away from the biggest breakthrough. Is that good? Thanking God after He answers a prayer is gratitude. Thanking God in advance is faith. Most of these are from Terry Seville Foy. When gratitude and thanksgiving become a way of life, not just a day in your life, it opens the door of God to perform miracles. You know, we got that day coming up. And actually, I've known for quite a while I was going to share in this area. And I said, Lord, they're going to think I'm only doing it because we're coming up on Thanksgiving. But you know what? It's not the reason, and you know that. A thankful, grateful heart is the open door to abundance. If you got any lack in your life, check your heart. Anxiety is infectious, but so is thankfulness. When you choose to give thanks rather than complain, it confuses the enemy and opens the door for God to work in your life. So the next time you want to complain, give thanks. Because you're siding with the enemy, and then he'll be all confused. Sometimes the most powerful prayer you can say is two words, thank you. God responds favorably to a grateful heart. And this is a major turning point, she says. Go ahead and start thanking God for what he's about to do in your life. It'll turn things for you. Instead of sitting waiting for it to happen. Take some time today to thank God for all He has done for you. A sure tonic for spiritual lethargy is genuine thanksgiving. And this is Jerry Savelle. The depth of my praise determines the magnitude of my breakthrough. And a grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. And then this last one is my favorite, and it's by Terry. Enter His presence with praise, and He'll enter your circumstances with power. Enter His presence with praise, and He'll enter your circumstances with power. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to do this one out of the New King James. Now, this is a prayer that we've been encouraging you all. Okay, well, by the way, you know where I'm going to go today, right? The prayer of praise and thanksgiving and worship. That was kind of obvious, but didn't you enjoy those? Amen. I really like quotes because sometimes, you know, you just... Anyway, I really like them. Thanks for letting me share them with you. Ephesians 1, we've been encouraging you all over the months to pray this prayer in Ephesians, starting with verse 16. I'm not going to read the whole prayer. I hope you've been praying it. But what we're going to look at today is, let's start with, I'll read 17, 18, and 19, because then we need to move on to some other things. But this is a prayer that you can pray every day. Release your faith. Pray it every day. It's nothing wrong with praying it over and over and over and over and over. You know, a prayer of faith for healing and deliverance and wholeness, something that's been bought and paid for on the cross. You know, you pray that prayer once and then you, thanksgiving, thank God for it and all that. But there's some prayers that, you know, this is good to pray daily. Okay. That's the New King James. Yeah, that's what I want. Okay. I'm going to have to read it from up here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Yes. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? You're asking God for that. A spirit of wisdom and revelation, that your eyes would be open to understanding. And then it goes on and says, and what's one of the things it's going to be open to? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, and go on more, yeah, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, and it goes on and says more about that. But what I want to share with you here, you know, when I would pray that and I would read that, and we'll say that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. Right? We say that. Have you ever wondered how, wow, whoa, me, the same power that raised Christ from the dead? How do I flow with that? How do I function in that? Y'all had the same questions I've had? Yeah. Well, we're going to learn today in one of those ways. And we're going to be talking about the power of the prayer of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And, you know, I pray that by the time we get ready to leave, we will so be stirred up in praise and worship and thanksgiving. And we'll see power working in our lives. I want to read you a quote. I want to read you a quote by Lynn Hammond. Why is it important to worship? Or you could put, why is it important to praise, to give thanksgiving? First of all, God is a God, and he deserves to be worshipped. Now, this is where it will deal with your heart. You know, you learn from the Word, and you know, there is 50 gazillion. I think there's three, I read somewhere, there's 300 and some scriptures that talk about praising and blessing God. So, you know, I only had to pick out, we're not doing all 300 of them today, but you know, it would be a great word study if you want it. But I'm going to stop here for just a second. But in all of my reading and studying about this, and as God began to deal with me about it, I'll tell you what happened was I realized I had lost my praise and my worship to a certain degree. You know, I've been born again for a long time. And I'll just be honest with you, I had. And so in the midst of him teaching me about this, he began to stir the waters. I told Bob this morning, the last time he ministered, he said, you can tell when the anointing flows because it's when the Holy Ghost starts stirring things. So that's my prayer. He's going to stir some things because I don't think I'm the only one. And you know what will cause you to get dormant in your praise and your worship and your thanksgiving? Circumstances. Yes. Especially if you've been in them a long time. Yes. Circumstances. Yes. And so we've got to look at the heart of the issue. I'm not here to tell you that you can praise and worship God and you're going to get everything you want. I mean, because you could look at it that way. Mm-hmm. But it's the heart in it. Yes. Amen. We've got to look at the heart in it. Why? Why are you praising? Why are you worshiping God? And I like this quote. I like this so much. I wanted to share it with you. So she says, why is it important to worship? First of all, God is God, and he deserves to be worshiped. He gave us every good thing we have, and not to worship him is a sin. Now, I wanted to quote that from her, because I felt like you would receive that better from her. That if Wanda had said, if you don't worship God, it's a sin. Am I right? Yes. I'm no dummy. So, he gave us every good thing we have, and not to worship him is a sin. And really, as God began to deal with my heart, I had to repent. I mean, I did. It actually broke my heart that I had gotten in that place and hadn't really recognized it. You know, the enemy will kind of lull you to sleep. It's arrogant and ungrateful to take what he gives and not bless him in return. So, let God deal with your heart, with where you're at right now. God never condemns, never, never, never. But he'll convict. He'll say, okay, we need to shore up this area. Because I'm telling you, God's taken us in a place of prayer. And I can say this, You know, there's always prayer because of relationship, but by the times that we're going into and we're already in, there is an outpouring of praise, restoration, and miracles.
Amen.
Because it's been said, it's been preached, a man went to heaven, God spoke to him in heaven. You go back, you tell him. There's an outpouring of prayer, restoration, and miracles. And so God's getting us ready.
Yes.
All right. Then the second reason, that's the first reason. The second reason it's important to worship is that God has ordained it as a way to access His power.
Amen.
That goes with Ephesians 1.
Yes.
That was an answer to me.
Amen.
The same power in me. You know, when you pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand the power of God, you know, working in through us. We got an answer. Hey, I'd dance a jig if I could. The second reason it's important to worship is that God has ordained it as a way to access power. Worship releases His blessings on our behalf. Worship is the language of faith. When you pray a prayer, the language of faith is not, God, when is this going to happen? How long is it going to take? When is this going to be over with? You know, the language of faith is, thank you, Father. I receive it with thanksgiving. I walk in it. I worship you for it. I thank you, Father God. You know, however, you know, He leads you in that. If you believe that God heard you pray and that He's moving on your behalf, then you will thank Him. And don't let the enemy steal that from you. If you need stirring up, let the Holy Ghost stir you up, because that's where the power is at.
Yes.
If you don't hear anything else today, that's where God, the avenue He has used for the power to work in your life. And I wanted to read you just a little. This is just a little story. This is out of Kenneth E. Hagin's book, Prevailing Prayer to Peace. And he gives an example of how the power of God would work in a situation through praise. Let's see. It's a modern day example of some believers he knew who discovered how praise could bring the power of God at the midnight hour. These people, they were called to pray for a child who was in the throes of terrible convulsions. They prayed, bound, rebuked, but nothing happened. The child simply wouldn't stop convulsing. Finally, they were exhausted from praying, and the pastor's wife began singing praises to the Lord very quietly. Suddenly, everyone just stopped thinking about the child and started thinking about the Lord and praising Him. See how that took their focus? When they did, the child quit convulsing. Why? Because praise released their faith. I would dare say, especially because it was a child, that all the binding and rebuking and some of the praying was maybe fear motivated. You know it can be. When you get called in, I mean, don't lie to, don't think that it can't be. But it can be fear motivated. And when you start praising, it just takes your mind off of what the enemy's trying to do. When they relaxed and began to fellowship among themselves, the child began convulsing again. So they started praying real hard, binding, loosing, rebuking, and casting out. I'm not saying these prayers are wrong, she said, but their faith wasn't released. Once more, they began singing praises to God. Again, the convulsions stopped. They tapped into the power of God as they started praising. And you know, you're led by the Holy Ghost. There's times He'll give you scriptures to pray, but you check your heart. When you're in that midnight hour and you start saying things, praying and whatever, you say, okay, where's this coming from? Is this coming out of fear? Is this coming out of faith? And then, you know, you can always turn to the place of praising and worshiping. But you know what? It's also sometimes the hardest thing to do. It is. And so you have to, as an act of your will. You know, your will's involved. I think sometimes we think praise and worship, you know, I gotta feel something. I gotta feel like praising God. I got to feel like worshiping Him. I got to feel like dancing. I got to feel like clapping hands. Mm-mm. It's not based on feeling. It's an act of your will to express that. And I'm going to take a little. We're going to continue on with this. Now, let me share another story with you. Let me share another story with you that shares with you about the power of praise and worship. Now, I've heard Creflo Dollar tell this story. I've heard Joseph Prince tell it. But this is a story about a man, and it's been a while since I've heard it, so I can tell you it's just a man, a minister, that went into an insane asylum. I don't know if he was a counselor or what. Some of you have heard this story. But anyway, he felt led to go to an insane asylum, and he, you know, I want to minister. Well, they put him in the worst area. I mean, bad. Didn't smell good. Didn't sound good. So he goes in there, and, you know, the people are drooling, and they're just spaced out somewhere. This is a wonderful story. And so he says, what do I do? God, what do I do? What do I teach him? What I preach to him? He said, you sing Jesus Loves Me. You sing Jesus Loves Me. So he sat there, and he started singing Jesus Loves Me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And he probably did it for about an hour. Didn't preach to him. Didn't teach to him. Didn't counsel him. So he left. And I can't remember if he went. I think he went once a week. And so he continued going. And gradually, some people started joining in with him. Now, these are people that mentally were gone. And so they started singing with him. And over a period of time, and I think it was 3 months, but it doesn't really matter. It was a period of time, and the man was tenacious, wouldn't give up. And that's all he did, sing Jesus Loves Me. And at the end of that 3 months, everyone was released.
Praise God.
Except for two people. And they got, they graduated to a different area where they, whatever. But anyway, the main thing is they got released.
Praise God.
Released.
Thank you, Jesus.
Released. The power of praise and worship. And when you praise and worship God, it confuses the enemy.
Yes, it does.
And the enemy had them so bound. But God. But God. And the love of God. See, probably, I've heard Joyce Meyer say she would be going insane asylums, and people, she'd meet people down the hall, and they would be saying, they'd be mumbling, and they'd say, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. Guilt, condemnation. And so a lot of them were probably bound in that.
Yeah.
So what would change that? The love of God.
Yes. Yes.
Words of the love of God. The simplicity of Jesus loves me.
Yes.
This I know.
Yes.
For the Bible tells me so. So don't let anybody talk you out of praising and worshiping God. And that is so simple. Let's look at a Psalms. Let me get the right one here. Psalms 32:7. And this is really what God did for the little girl that was convulsing, and also for the people in the insane asylum. You can't find Psalms in Proverbs, can you? This is, I want this. Can you do this King James, New King James for me, please? Thank you. Psalms 32, verse 7. Psalms. Thank you. That's great. You are my hiding place. This is how it starts out. You're my hiding place. You're a hiding place for me. It's okay. I'll just read it. You know what? Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Yes. Have you ever read that scripture and thought, where are songs of deliverance at? I mean, I have. I've thought, I'm waiting on my songs of deliverance. Where are they coming from? I'm as honest as I can be. I would read that and I think, well, that sounds good. I like that. But, and now, you know, then God showed me, He showed me this week, the songs of deliverance that I have comes out of me. Comes out of me. Comes out of me. Now you can, it's good to play Christian music and good to listen to it, and when you're oppressed and the heaviness is on you, and there's a time, because you know it changes the atmosphere. And God may, in fact, God did use a phrase out of a song this week. Got up one morning and I had a phrase from a song that kept going to me over and over and over and over. And I thought, I'm just going to have to go listen to that song. But you know, before I could go listen to that song, the Lord ministered to me. He said, I'm giving this to you. Don't go listen to what that musician. I'm giving this to you. And really what he said to me was, oh, for the love of the Father. That's what he said to me. He said, oh, for the love of the Father. And I honestly can't even tell you what song. But, you know, it comes out of a song. And then he ministered to me, and he said, add something to it. Wow. And so I said, oh, and I won't sing it. I got a voice that only God likes to hear. That's why I ain't on the platform. But, oh, for the love of the Father rescues me. Oh, for the love of the Father comforts me. Oh, for the love of the Father changes me. Oh, for the love of the Father sets me free. Oh, for the love of the Father brings deliverance to me. Okay, why did he give that to me? He gave me a song of deliverance.
Yes, he did.
And I'm telling you, if you'll grab hold of this, He's going to give you a song of deliverance.
Yes, yes, he will.
For you to sing in your life. Because, you know, the enemy, where's the battle at? In our mind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when those thoughts come, there's certain situations. We've all got them. Yeah. Familiar spirits watch us. They know what'll push our button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll know what'll put us in a tizzy. They know what will cause us sad, get in a depression.
Yeah.
Whatever. But you know what? The one who knows even better is God. And so if you let him give you a song of deliverance when you're walking through life, and then the enemy wants to push the button through somebody, most of the time it's through somebody, then you know what? I mean, I just felt it. I said, God, you gave that to me to use to see your power work in me. Instead of depressing the situation depressing me, or the, you know, y'all go through those too, don't you? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right people in here. And so I have let that work for me, a song of deliverance, and it'll come out of your mouth. Jan, God's going to give you a song of deliverance. Bob, he's going to do that for you too. And there was somebody else he told me to tell that to, but they're not here today. So, but it's for all of you, but specifically, he said for me to tell you. He's going to give you a song of deliverance. You just listen for it.
Praise God.
Just listen for it. And don't, it might not make sense. It could be one word. I think "Jesus Loves Me" is a song of deliverance.
Yes.
If you don't know any other, you know, but listen for it. Because it'll bring the power of God in your life. And it will take you out of some places that you've been in for a long time.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
It'll take you out of those places. Now, where am I going to go now? Let me do this. I am going to share from 2 Chronicles 20. But let me say this before we go to 2 Chronicles 20. I had Angie do the song, Every Praise. I contacted her and I said, can we do that today? And because the Lord really ministered to me about that this week. And he wanted me to encourage you in that song. And we're going to do something in a little while. But Trisha's commented on it when we do that song. You've made comments about it. But this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Okay. If you've heard... If you came in late and you didn't hear that song, then don't worry. Don't worry. But we're talking about it. You've probably heard it here before. But it's Every Praise Belongs to God. He's my healer, my deliverer, my savior. Well, this was a song that a little boy used. I think he was about 11, I believe. But anyway, a little boy got kidnapped. And... he was riding in the back of the car. And let me just stop right here and say this. Something else. I'm going to hold that. I apologize. I'm going to hold that. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. I need to use that before I expound on that. I love 2 Chronicles 20. It's the story of Jehoshaphat. I've referred to it times here, but we're going to look at it today. This is an example of how God gave them a song of deliverance to sing. I think for the sake of time, we're going to read it all. I just can't pick one or two verses out, and we haven't been going too long. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. We'll jump down to verse 3. Before that, a great multitude was coming against Jehoshaphat. And he heard about it. There was all these men coming against them. And Jehoshaphat feared. And he set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. You know, he was responsible for these people. He says he proclaimed a fast in all Judah. We're going to go on down through. Okay. And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. And you know, really what happened was what would happen to us today in a midnight hour when you get a bad report or you get a phone call. That'll help you relate. That's what they did. They got a bad report. Somebody was coming after them. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so none is able to withstand you. He was talking to God and he was telling God about the things that he'd done for them. He's talking to God about his goodness. You know, he didn't run from God, he ran to God.
Amen.
That's a key right there too. Did not you, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your father? He's like saying, God, now wait a minute. You know, it's good to be honest with him. It really is. It's like, wait a minute, God, you did all this and now, you know. They dwelt in it and they built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we'll stand before this house and before you. For your name, and the symbol of your presence is in this house, and we'll cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. He was making declarations, was what he was making. And now behold, the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade. Do you catch that? He said to God, you wouldn't let us invade them. And because you wouldn't, when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they turned from and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession. And he's telling God, your possession? Do you hear this? I mean, this is how we really, God doesn't mind us talking to him this way. Because we don't stay there.
No.
Drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Do you ever say that to God? I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And then this is what the prophet said. Hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you, be not afraid or dismayed at this great number, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to go on here in a minute. But you know, they had to depend upon the prophets to speak to them.
Yes.
We have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the written word of God.
Amen.
So when you find yourself in a situation like Jehoshaphat and his company found themselves in, it would be great to say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And I trust the Holy Ghost to speak to me because you're going to give me a word in due season. It's a word that will take me over. Now, you can pick out a portion from the Word of God, and we got promises that we stand on because of the finished work of Christ, and we can take those. But I tell you what, when you let the Holy Ghost give you a word, it's all over with then. It's all over with. Okay, we'll go on. Oh, in that scripture verse, the Lord's one thing. Oh, I'm sorry. The one thing the Lord said to them, the prophet said, the battle is not yours, it's God's. And for some of you this morning, you've got to understand, you've been battling. And God goes, hands off.
That's right.
As long as you have at it, you can have at it. And he's just waiting. He's waiting for you to say, you know what? I can't figure this out, God.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what to do. You ever tried to figure anything out?
Oh.
I mean, we're in good company, aren't we, brother? And so it's like, I don't know what to do. Let him fight for you.
Yes.
And then we're going to learn how he did that.
Yes.
Okay, I think we're 16, right? Tomorrow go down to them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jericho. You shall not need to fight in this battle.
Amen.
God is saying that to somebody in this room, you don't need to fight in this battle. Quit fighting in this battle. Then what does he say? Take up your position. There's a position that he wants you to take up. We're going to talk about that. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Who is the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Fear not, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, before we go on down a few verses, I'm going to talk about fear for a minute. When a situation comes, one reason why it's so important to praise and worship God for his goodness, for his mercy, for his healing power, whatever it is because if you don't, the enemy will have heyday with you in your mind. He will tell you how bad it is, and it's never going to get better. Correct? So praise and worship will help stop that. And so that's what God did for them. Can you imagine? I mean, we read this like sometimes like it's just a little fairy tale, but it's not. People were coming against them to kill them, to destroy them. Okay? And God said, don't fear. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, and they started worshiping him. And some of the Levites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. I think it's important. I don't believe so much in volume, but I think there's times for volume.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm telling you, I think it's because you need to hear it, but the devil needs to hear it too.
Yes.
He needs to hear it. You know, praise and worship was great today, and it was a little loud, wasn't it? I thought it was great. But anyway, and they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you shall prosper." In other words, he was saying, we're believing the prophet.
Amen.
We're going to do what the prophet said do. Where today we would say, I'm believing the word. I'm believing what the Holy Ghost is telling me to do in this situation. Because I need God's power to come in to this. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments as they went out before the Lord, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever." Do you realize those few words? They talk of the love of God. The same thing that happened in the insane asylum with those people. They sang about the love. Jesus loves me. That's the love of God. And that's in several places in the Psalms where that is repeated. So while you're waiting on your song of deliverance that God wants to personally give you, take that one.
Amen.
Take that one. And sing it. Sing it out through the day. Let the praise go out before you. You know, anyway, we'll go on. And so that's what they did. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were self-slaughtered. Okay, this gives us a picture. When we're in a situation and the enemy's coming against us and we feel like we're backed against a corner or whatever, and I know I'm talking about the enemy a lot, but I'm telling you what, I've heard Terry Savelle Foy say, you got to know your enemy.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know him, you got to know your enemy. And so we're getting to know him a little bit better. But this praise that went out when they were saying continuously, "Lord, I give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. I give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. I give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever." And as you do that, get a picture in your mind. The enemy being confused.
Yes.
Isn't that a great picture?
Yes.
He's confused.
Yes.
He can no longer, and he'll leave for a season. He'll come back, try it again. Mm-hmm. But eventually, and I'm talking about if there's a certain area, eventually, it'll be gone. Because he'll say, I can't fool with her. I can't stand the power. I can't stand the power that comes out of her mouth or his mouth.
Amen.
I can't stand that.
Amen.
So we're looking at something here. When we praise, we're not just singing praises to sound pretty, but it's working.
Right.
It's working on the enemy. And I'm going to stop, and I need to tell this story too, and I think I've told this one before, but I'll just share this thought. This is... I've heard Joseph Prince share it. And this one's about a man got a call that his sister was in a car wreck. And so he gets ready and he's going to her. And so he immediately starts confessing the word. Confessing the word, which is, you know, what we talked about. And so, but you know, every time he would say, "By the stripes of Jesus, I believe she's healed, she'll live and she'll not die," he would feel doubt wanting to come in. And it was just, you know, it's a battle, right? But he said to the Lord, he said, "What's going on here?" And the man had a vision. God gave him a vision. And Joseph Prince said, now this is a mature man, not a flaky person. So he said, you can believe what he said. And the Lord showed him there was an imp, like an imp, a demon spirit, one here and one here. And every time he would quote, he would say, she said, she'll live and she'll not die. One of them would say, she'll die, she'll die, she'll die, in one ear. And then, you know, by the hip stripes of Jesus, you know, she's healed. She'll die, she'll die, she'll die. And so the Lord told him, he said, when you say the scripture, pray in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, he would say, she's going to live. He'd say, by the stripes of Jesus, you know, she's healed. And then he'd pray in the Holy Ghost. And so then God opened it up and he saw a vision. And when he would pray in the Holy Ghost, one demon spirit looked over at the other demon spirit and said, do you know what he's saying? And he said, no. But he said, but you know, when he does that, I burn. And the other one said, I do too. I think we should get out of here. Now, I think that is a legitimate vision that that man gave. I mean, that God gave that man. So with us, not only do we have, you know, songs that we sing, but in the Spirit. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, one of the best things you can do is pray in the Holy Ghost and sing in the Holy Ghost, because the enemy has no idea.
Amen. That's true.
So that's another song of deliverance that you can use. So anyway, we need to continue on. And look at the next verse. For suspecting betrayal, the men of Ammon and Moab rose against those of Mount Seir, utterly destroying them. They came against the people that were... And when they had made an end of the men of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. That's what prayer... power, you know, praise and worship will do. And when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none had escaped. That's what the power of God will do in your life. You know what it'll do? It'll cause you to walk in the finished work of Jesus. It's already yours, but it'll help you to walk in it. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil, they found among them much cattle, goods, garments, precious things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry away, so much they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. And you cannot leave that part out, because the spoil is restoration. And when you're in a situation and you, out of a heart of love, and worship to the Father, and you go into that place of worship, and you allow the power of God to work in that situation, God will bring you the spoil.
Yes. Yes.
Let's say you've had an issue for quite a few years, and you just can't seem to find your way out of it.
Yeah.
You take that issue and you hold it before God and ask Him to give you a song of deliverance, and He will, and He'll deliver you in that. I believe this is one way He'll do it. This is what He wanted me to talk to you about today. And when He takes you out of that place, you'll have restoration.
Yes.
And you'll have the spoil.
Yes.
You'll have the spoil. I've heard Creflo Dollar say, I don't know why they wore their, what's that watch that's real expensive?
Rolex.
He said, I don't know why they wore the Rolex to battle. But he said, they gathered up the Rolexes and everything else that went with them. So, but anyway, I wanted to share that one with you. And let me see. One scripture verse, you don't have to turn to it, is Psalms 34, verse 1. No, yes, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because the enemy will fight you on this, because he hates it. He hates. But you know what? You're getting stirred up today. And I believe God's dealing with our hearts and bringing us back to that place of our first love, maybe, to that place of worship. And then now I can say this about praise and worship this morning. You know, after studying this, I looked at it. And Joyce Meyer tells this story that she talked to someone one time that God gave him a vision of, he was in praise and worship in a church. And God... he said to God, you know, the worship's so great and it's so wonderful here. And God said, well, let me show you something. And He opened up his eyes so he could spiritually see. He said, I'm going to show you how many people here are truly worshiping. And it was a large congregation. And there was, he said, a light will shine over, you know, you'll see who's really worshiping because there'll be a light over their head. Just opened up his eyes. God gives people visions. You understand that? 4 people out of the whole room. He said, they are really worshiping me. And, you know, and I just encourage us in this. Trisha's taught us this. When we come to worship, I hope you see it differently after this. Because when we come to worship God, we're worshiping Him because of who He is. And the things we talked about earlier. But it's an on-purpose thing.
Yes.
Because in that, he said, you know, there were some people thinking about what they were going to have for lunch and where they were going after lunch and so on. So you have to keep your mind connected with your heart.
Amen.
And, you know, we want miracles and miracle services, and signs and wonders. This is a key to part of it.
It is.
It's a key to part of it. You know, it's just not something we do to fill in a spot between when you get in the door and the message starts.
Amen.
This is worshiping God
yes.
Almighty.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If we'll come in here with that kind of attitude, don't you think God will meet us in this place?
Yes.
Just like He met Jehoshaphat and them out on the wilderness, He met them. He'll meet you wherever you worship Him with a true heart. He'll meet you wherever. And so I wanted to encourage you in that because, you know, we've prayed for a long time for signs and wonders and miracles, and this is a key that goes along with that. All right. Now the song about the little boy. I'm going to close with this. In that song, this little boy got kidnapped. And his kidnapper was driving him down the road. And can you imagine the fear? We're going to tear this apart for just a minute. Can you imagine the fear in that little boy? Things going through his head. The enemy was telling him, you'll never see your mom and daddy again. You won't see your little sister anymore. What's this man? This man's going to do awful things to you. Whatever the enemy would say. Because the enemy was involved in this.
Yes.
To use this man to kidnap him. And bless his heart, the child of a the faith of a child. He started singing this song, Every Praise, because he'd learned it in church. So what happened? He starts singing it. And if I understand correctly, the man kept telling him, shut up, shut up, shut up. But you know, evidently the little boy wasn't threatened by that. And he kept singing it. Well, you know what? That was that little boy's song of deliverance.
Yes.
God gave that. I mean, He could have told him, sing Jesus Loves Me or whatever other songs that they do in their church. But you know, because of that incident, that's gone all over the world, I think. And I've heard you say that that song is a song of deliverance. Well, so what happened was then, I mean, the man, can you imagine the confusion that went on in that man's head?
Yes.
And the confusion came, and it was like, I can't do this.
Angels came on the scene.
Yeah, and praise does activate angels, because angels were on the scene in Jehoshaphat. I mean, there's so much you can put with this, but this is for where today. But angels came on the scene. And, you know, he could have pulled over and said, I am letting you out. Good riddance. But he didn't. He turned around and took him back to where he stole him. Kidnapped him. Well, I mean, is that not restoration?
That's restoration.
Amen.
He got out. The guy left. So, let me read you this. This is from Lynn, quote from Lynn. Never forget that the Bible says you have a way of escape.
Yes. Wow.
It doesn't matter how far down you are. God has a way to lift you up and out.
Yes.
He has a highway for you, and it's paved with praise.
Hallelujah.
You remember 1 Corinthians 10? It says you'll not be tempted beyond what you can stand, but God will make a way of escape.
Yeah.
You know, I've pondered that verse for a long time. I have. And I know the word is a way of escape, but I thought there's something else. There's something. And it was like the light went on for me. It was like praise is a way of escape.
Yes. Yes.
It was for Jehoshaphat. It was for the people in the sane asylum. It was for the little boy. It was for the little girl with convulsions.
Yes.
So what do you need to escape from? He has a highway for you, and it's paved with praise. Now, I mentioned this to Pastor Todd, and he said he was okay with it. But this is what, when the Lord started talking to me about the song, Every Praise, he said, you're going to stir their faith up with what you share. He said, but I want you to give them the opportunity to sing that song. Okay? And I want you to take a situation, whatever it is, and hold it before the Father. And say, God, I need a way of escape.
Yes. Yes.
What you did for that little boy, I need for you to do for me.
Yes.
And I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to praise you out of a sincere heart. God, I don't know what to do in this. I'm tired.
Yes.
And I give it up to you. And I really, because God, I believe he instructed me in this. Because of that. We're not doing it just to sing song and keep you in here just a few minutes longer. But we're doing it, I believe, by the instruction of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And so, and because of that, he will meet you at that place.
Amen.
Between you and him. Now the... Angie, yeah, if y'all want, we do need you all. Yeah, but they are so graciously said that they would lead us in that song, and but the altar area will be open if you feel so led to do that. But will you do that with me?
Amen.
You do that with me,
yes.
And remember, praise and worship—it's prayer. It's
yes.
prayer.
It is.
It's not just singing. It's prayer. It's talking
yes.
to the Father. It's just a form of prayer. Okay? Thank you, Rob.